Okay. Page 101. Amen. My Lord, hell is going to freeze over. You might say, oh Lord. They brought their book. Thank you. You know the old saying, hell's going to freeze over when the New Orleans Saints win the Super Bowl? Well, that happened in 2010, so that's done. Well, something else. Good job, y'all. Good job. No, I understand. Sometimes it's a little rough, maybe during the week, whatever, but I hope you're enjoying it. I hope, you know, let it speak to your soul. Let it get into your spirit, okay? Amen. Page 101, and the scripture is Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There are many things in life that we would be better off throwing away. These things include sin, bad habits, spiritual weights, and even friendships that are not profitable to our spiritual well-being. Faith in our own abilities, knowledge, zealousness, or special skills set should also be cast aside. We do not ever want to hinder what God's Spirit desires to do through us. The believer must ever hold fast to his trust, his dependence, his reliance, and his confidence in the Lord God. We are to remain ever sure and assured of God's ability and his willingness to do that which is best for us. When God is in control and piloting the flight of our lives, we will arrive at places that are marvelous, magnificent, and monumental. We would be foolish to short-circuit or eliminate these potential blessings, all because something or someone has caused us to doubt God. There is a great reward ahead for all who will simply trust the Lord. Whatever you do, don't fail to believe God continually in every area of your life. Don't give up or quit. You just might be moments away from a miracle. Mm. Amen, people. Amen. You never know. You never know. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. Amen. Let's pray over these prayer requests. These are prayer requests that we put in here. Personally, for each one of us, something personal and something outside of that. And so we're continuing to pray and asking God to. I know there's something I'll put in here and I'm seeing it happen. And so I've just thanked the Lord. I just thank the Lord. If you have something you wrote down and you're seeing the answer to it, come tell me. Just say, hey, God's answering. If you want to tell me, that's up to you. If you don't, that's up to you. Okay? So let's pray. If you would stretch forth your hands, come on. We need a miracle. We need a miracle working God to do miracle things. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, you see what has been written down, what's upon our hearts. Father, I pray that you would mightily move upon these prayer requests, Lord. But Father, we want your will to be done. Not my will, not the will of your people here, not the church's will, but Lord, your will to move upon it. Lord, your word says, and I remind you of your word, Father, that whatever two shall agree upon the earth, that it shall be done. And Father, we agree together, Lord God, that it shall be done in Jesus' name, according to your will, Lord God. Pour out your spirit, pour out your anointing, pour out your presence upon these prayer requests, Lord. We thank you that you are a mighty God, and mighty will you bring to effect, Lord God, those things. You will answer, and you will show us, Lord God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Take your word, please. Get your Bibles. And let's say, make our confession before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, during the week, I was praying about the sermon for today and just, you know, things. And so, you know, I felt in my spirit that just, and really I was praying and I was driving at this time, my truck, and I felt I needed to go back again to Job and say some things and zone in on yet everything he went through, but yet also what God did, and really put the magnifying glass upon it. Because we can say, okay, yeah, you know, all this stuff happened to him, but what did God do? Because there's so much information, people, so much. We also talked about with Job that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job is the oldest book in the world. And for God to start this book written down, this book from a place of a man that loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to see that this man, if you want to say it this way, because this word wasn't used back then, was a Christian. Christian didn't come out till later on in the New Testament, which was derogatory towards the Christians. They were saying something against them. It was a negative that the people would say toward, that's a Christian. You know, it was supposed to be negative, but then we caught on and now we like it because it's Christ-like. We should walk as Christ-like in Christ and the things that God has done in our hearts and in our lives. In Job chapter 1, as we're going to get to chapter 2, but in Job chapter 1, it says in verse 1, that there was a man in the land of Uz, page 832, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, and one who feared God and eschewed or hated evil. Now, this is God saying this about Job, that this man is perfect. Not perfect in everything he did, but perfect towards God. His heart was right towards him. He was upright, he feared God, and he hated evil or eschewed evil. Now, in Job chapter 13, verse 15, page 847, it says, Job says this, page 847. In Job 13:15, it says this, and this is after some things had happened to him, not good. Though he kill me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He was saying this, though he be killed, and Job, see, we coming from the, I need to backtrack a little bit. We're coming from knowing what Job was going to go through. We know it. We see it in the word. Job did not know what was going on in his life. Just like when perilous times come our way. Just like when temptation comes our way. Just like when evil comes our way. We don't know what's going on at times. We don't know when God, when the enemy has certain access to God's throne somehow. That he goes and he accuses us of certain things. And he has to ask the Father, can I do that to him or her? Look, that brings more confidence in me, in my God. That he, my God, is in control. And no one in this world is in control of my life except God. And you should think that way too. That as a Christian, you are Christ-like. You are a daughter or a son of God. He is in control of your life. He says what can come against you. And a lot of times, God will allow things to come our way to build our faith in him. that we trust him beyond measure, more than ever before. But Job came to the place that he says, though he kill me, yet I will trust in him. It does not. He got to the place it didn't matter anymore. Now we know this. Job was a very rich man. It says that. He owned cattle. He owned camels, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. He owned 500 yokes of oxen. I mean, he was a very wealthy man. And he wasn't a stingy man, though. He was wealthy, but he helped people. He gave and helped. And he was known throughout that land as being, maybe being the richest man on earth at that time, or very close to it. Because of the wealth that he had, the things that he owned. But he gave and helped, because God had blessed this man because of how he lived. It says in verse 8, God brags about him again. The Lord says, and the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there was none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and eschews evil? Now, when God says one thing about you, it's great. When he says it again, it blows you out the water. It's awesome. God is saying this about Job. Now, we see in chapter 2, and I'm kind of backtracking, so we can make sure we have the foundations laid, that as the enemy goes before God and he says, he's looked around, he's looked to and fro, and that means the enemy is all over, people. But let me tell you this, our God is in control. Don't think that the enemy is in control of this world. God is still in control. Yes, they may have a lot of evil going on. Yes, things may not look good at times. But I tell you what, God is still in control, and he's going to make things happen when it needs to happen. And he will roll away a stone to bring victory to your heart and your life. He will do whatever it takes so that your faith rises up within him. It says this, our responsibility is to trust when trusting seems impossible. We are to believe when believing feels impractical and burdensome. In verse 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also along with them. And I know I said this last week. The angels have to report to God, and the evil angels, remember the ones that turn from God? They have to report to God. Everyone reports to the Lord. Even human beings will stand before him. Everyone. The ones that have bowed their knee before God and accepted him as Lord and Savior, we will be in heaven. The ones that don't, they will go to a place called hell, which is not funny at all. A place of torment forever. A place of heartache and pain and suffering. But it says that they came, and it also seems to think that Satan came with the evil ones and he's head of them. And the Lord said unto Satan, where have you been? And Satan answered, the Lord said, from going to and fro the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man who fears God and eschews or hates evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? I mean, he was saying, look, Job only fears you because of what he can get out of you. And you know, hey, look, let's face it. There's some people that will come to the Lord or will do whatever just to get what they can get from God. I mean, that's the truth. The evilness of men's heart, men and women's heart. Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Have you have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. God has put a hedge, and I know I said this last week, but let me tell you this, it's worth saying again, God puts a hedge of protection around you. You should have shouted amen. Amen. Come on now. Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. He puts a hedge of protection around you. Not just protection, but a hedge. That means it encircles everything you are. Ooh, it's like somebody putting protection around about this thing. Just protecting it. God puts a hedge of protection around about you to protect you from the evil one and to bless you. And you know what? No one can take it off. No one. I mean, I can see the times where God has protected me physically. Physically. My Lord. And probably every one of you have said, man, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. Physically protecting us, spiritually protecting us from the evil one and the harm that he wants. But God put his hands of protection. His angels were commissioned towards you. That hedge around about you. See, God is in control, people. God is in control. The enemy is not. And so he's telling God, and God is bragging about Job, saying, hey, this man fears me. He loves me. He's perfect before me. And yes, you don't have to look any further. You can try him if you want to. And look, Satan, he was happy to do it, people. He was happy to go after God's creation and to destroy him, this man. Happy. But God gave him a barrier. He said, now you can't come against his body. You can do everything else, but not against him. Not against him. And so, see, even when God allows the enemy somehow to have certain freedoms, if you want to say it that way, towards us, God still holds the barrier of whatever he wants to do. And hey, look, do you like going through a trial? If anybody would have said amen, would have escorted you out the building. Because who wants to go through heartache and hardship and hard things? I mean, you know, it's like you just, the temptation, the evil, the destruction. Who wants? Nobody. Nobody. No one wants to go through that. But God will allow it in our lives to build us up as we trust in him and what he can do for us. You know, after it said, well, no, I need to read this verse. I'm sorry. I want to make sure I get this in. The 20 of chapter 1, it says this, after he lost everything, basically. I mean, his cattle, his oxen, his sheep, his sons, his daughters, 7 sons, 3 daughters, all of that. All of that was gone. Just remember, let's say you have $20,000 in the checking account. And when you get home, you find out it's been wiped out. Ooh, I heard of, ooh. Then as you're going home, your vehicle's destroyed. You have no vehicle. Then on your drive home, your house catches on fire. And it's destroyed. I mean, nothing left but ashes. All your wealth has been depleted. All gone in one day. Can you still fall on your knees and praise your God? I want to say yes. I mean, I really. But you never know till you're in that situation. The heartache. I mean, to lose it all. But this is to lose all that. Look at this, verse 20. Then we'll get into chapter 2, which is where I want to get to. It says, then Job arose. He rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. All lost. The only thing he had left that was personally close to him was his wife. His wife. But Job fell to the ground as the servant would run and say, hey, all you children have been lost. A whirlwind came and hit all four corners of the house, and all 10 of his children were in there, and they all died. All your oxen have been stolen. All your sheep have been taken or killed. You know, all of that, all of that's gone. Yet he bows his knee because there's no other place to go. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a place where there's no other place but up? So there's no other place that God would want you to be, because that's where he wants us to be. Not the hurt, I'm not saying that, but the attitude of surrender unto him. Surrender unto him. Surrender. The trial, this trial was over. And you know, I'm sure Job, when he fell to his knees after all that was gone from his life, he fell to his knees. I'm saying he fell to his knees. And he worshiped God. I'm sure he thought, you know, well, at least this is basically over. He still doesn't know what's going on. We have to remember that. He doesn't know that Satan has gone to God. He doesn't know that God has given Satan permission to do all this. He does not know that. He's living in faith. He's saying, I don't understand. And we've all been to that place where we don't understand all things. We don't understand why a decision has been made by someone. We don't understand why this may have happened to us. We may not understand all that. But our faith needs to stay in Christ no matter what. We need to have the attitude that we worship God in the good times, we worship God in the bad times, and we worship God in the medium times, no matter what. That God can rely upon us, that we may not be able to sing praises unto him because of the hurt on the inside, but we're able to bow our knee before him and saying, Lord, I love you. I don't understand, but I love you. I don't understand, but I love you. I will praise you. I will honor you. And you can, you know, it's so low because your hurt is so painful. But God is still in control no matter what. He doesn't look how loud we sing or how loud we praise. He looks at the heart on the inside of us and says, let me examine that heart. Let me see where he or she is at, and let me do a mighty work in them and through them. That's what he looks at. He thought it was over. I would think it was over. Don't you think? But lo and behold, the whole book is not over. And we're only in chapter 1. What a God, huh? Look at chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, you know, the sons of God is talking about angelic beings that have to give an account, and evil one, angelic beings, if you want to say it that way, have to give an account. And old Slewfoot, you know the scripture where it says that it's him that has deceived the nations? You know, they're talking about Satan because he's not that fearful. He tags along like a scaredy cat. Oh, I'm going to be with them to get to God. Okay. Number two. And the Lord said unto Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan again, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the... Look, God is bragging upon Job. Job had just gone through losing everything, and yet his heart was still towards God. Not that he didn't have the scars of pain. That's not it. Not that his heart didn't bleed. I'm talking about not the physical, but the spiritual part of him. It didn't bleed of hurt and pain. But he still kept his faith in Christ. There is not... That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man who fears God and hates evil. He says it again. This is number three. Number three. And then he adds, God adds, and still holds fast his integrity. When you and I go through something, are we going to hold on to our integrity with our God? Or are we going to be swallowed up by what is happening to us? I'm not saying you don't feel the pain. I'm not saying that it doesn't get rough. But I'm saying to keep the integrity that God has in us. That his integrity was still intact, even though he lost it all. You know, the ultimate loss had to be his children, people. Because he was a loving father. It says, and you need to read these. Go and read Job chapter 1. Where he would go and he would make sacrifices for his children that were ungodly. Peace offerings. Sacrifice offerings to God. My Lord. Which was representing what Christ Jesus did for us. The sacrifice. He loved his children. It hurt what happened to them. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause. And verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, okay, skin for skin. All that a man has will he give up for his life. Verse 5, but put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. And he will curse you to your face. You see, the first time, Job never cursed God. I'm not saying he didn't complain a little bit. But he never said, God, it's your fault. I'll never serve you. It's you that has done this to me. Job didn't know where it was coming from. He just knew it was happening. He didn't know. We know because of the knowledge of what Job went through, that we know where things come from. You see, everything we go through will help somebody else down the line. That's why maybe God will allow you to go through some things to help you to have faith in Christ, to trust him more than ever. And also, you know why? So he can bring other people your way so you can tell them, this is what God has done for me. The oldest book in the Bible tells us these things about how to live. How to trust, what we need to do, how to live a life of integrity towards God. Verse 5, but put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And I like what the comment says, the trial deepens. Lord, deliver me. Get me out of this. Lord, get me out of this. Look, that's and hey, I'm not. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you think after Job got down on his knees and worshiped God, he's saying, "Okay, this is over," and oh Lord, Slewfoot comes around unto God, and God tells him, "Okay, now you make sure now you can touch his bone and his flesh. Before you couldn't do it. Now you can." God is in control. God is in control of your life. No person, No enemy out there is in control of your life but God himself. You are a son and a daughter of the living King, my Lord. And so now we see God gives him the okay. Now he can touch Job, his flesh and his bone. Now it says this, verse 7. So when Satan came forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet, unto his crown. As the comment says, it was boils that were from the sole all the way under, every part of his skin, from the bottom all the way to the crown of his head. Every part of his body had a boil on it. And it was boils, they call it in here elephantitis. I never heard of that before. But that's what it is. They seem to think, because that's what it shows. And it says that type of boil, can you imagine? I mean, I'm sure people here have had a boil here or there, you know, and whatever. And they say it's painful. Can you imagine having boils all underneath your feet that it's hard to walk? All in your hands, so it's hard to grab? You know, the best place in the world, it seems like, is when you go and you work and you come home, you take a bath, you relax a little bit, and you crawl into bed, huh? And you lay down and, oh, everybody's saying, that's a nice place to be. Can you imagine being Joe, being in his bed, whatever it was, that it was painful? He was in pain the whole time. They said it was, from what I read and what I looked up, it was so painful. And it was so smelly, like a pus, a fluid would come out of all this. They said it was horrible, a horrible smell. So you know what? He stunk for a long time. You might say, well, how long? Well, some seem to think that it lasted at least a month. Some in the comments says they think a few months. Some even think a year. And there was even a few that said 7 years. We don't know for sure. But we know it lasted a long time. Even if we play around with a month, that's a month too long. You know, we get the flu, and it's like we're dead. We're dead, you know. Dead. Bring me something to eat. Bring me some soup, something. We're just dead. Can you imagine that you can't even take a cover over you because the cover, when it slides down or is brought up, hurts your skin? Job didn't know why. He was a righteous man before God. His children were horrible. And they didn't serve God. But he was a righteous man. And yet going through all of this. It says that pot, he would take, because it hurts so much, that he would take potherds, which is a broken piece of a pottery, something that was sharp, and he would scrape his skin. Because probably it would fill up with pus and fluid. Yes, it stunk, but maybe it felt a little okay. You know, it hurt and there was pain, but it just, a little bit of relief, a little bit. So what I'm telling you is this. This man went through some hardship, didn't he? Yet he still served God and did not have the knowledge to know, not because he wasn't smart, but he just did not know that God had allowed this to happen to him for a reason. It says this, that he had three great friends that came around. You got to make sure your friends are good friends to you. You know, and there's different types of friends. You know, this is you. You have your friends that are right next to you. By the way, you have you should be your spouse. Not your girlfriend. Not your boyfriend. And all that stuff. That should be your spouse that you are number one with. Okay? I'm not saying it's wrong to go and speak to somebody about, you know, whatever. You know, that's okay, you know, to a certain extent. But I tell you what, and I know that's hard, especially if a spouse is not saved or not living for the Lord. And that brings some conflict there. But it should be, God has made man and woman, and you have taken a commitment unto God that this is your spouse for life. You're going to be with them. You should have a union. And then after that, there are your close friends. You know, guys, you know, if you're a guy, you have close guy friends. If you're a girl, a lady, have good lady friends. Everybody's getting my drift? Come on now. We got to be careful. Then, you know, after that close relationship, there's the outer. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger, you know. You're not going to be as close to people at work or whatever than you are somebody that you see daily, or your spouse, or your friends that you talk on the phone with. And then you need to be careful with that. You see, there's outer. So here we have these three guys. They know that Job is in pain. And look at verse 11. Y'all, it's only, only 11 o'clock. Thank you, Lord. Y'all take that too easy. Y'all know I'm not telling the truth about that. Huh? It's 11:30, but we're going to have to pick up next week with this. It says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was coming to him, they came everyone from his own place, Elphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And you think, that's pretty good, huh? I mean, that's a good friend. Wow. They made an appointment together. They probably called one another or they text each other, you know, whatever. They say, we're going to meet at Job's dwelling. I heard he's gone through some difficult times. We're going to see what's going on. And so all of them made an appointment. They got together and they started to go towards his house. And I'm going to read this and then we're going to have to close. Verse 12. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off. Now they are far off. That doesn't mean they're near. They're far from him. And knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days, 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him, though they saw that his grief was very great. I'm going to have to close here. Sorry about that. They came, they got together, and they go on to help their friend. And they look afar off, and they don't recognize him. That means his face was morphed. That means he didn't look like himself. I mean, there were so many boils. Can you imagine boils next to your eyes? Come on now. Let's be practical. Can you imagine boils around your mouth as you try to eat something? And you're eating something, all of a sudden a little fluid goes into your mouth. That's not good. Or your ears, you're trying to hear, and there's so many boils all over on your head. Look, you can't even brush your hair because there's boils all over. Look, you're getting the picture. This man went through a lot. And God says he was perfect. He kept his integrity. Ooh. He feared God all that he went through. Honestly, as I look at that and I read and study more and more Job, I come to realize, Lord, nothing I go through compares to him. Sorry. If we're going to compare ourselves to somebody, don't let it be somebody that you know you're going to beat. That's what we like to do. That's just humankind. But this guy, no one can beat him. Not in what he went through. All for the sake that God trusted him. Now, next week we're going to pick up, and we're going to finish next week. We're going to probably start church at no. That's okay. No. But I want you to go away knowing he trusted God, people. And we didn't even touch a lot of stuff. But we're gonna finish next week. I might not go back as far and just go on. But to know, yes, look, God wants us to live a prosperous, good life, pleasing unto him. But whatever happens to us, remember this, God is in control. And you know what? Always keep your knee bowed. And I say knee because that's a form of bowing before him. Always have an attitude of bowing before him and saying, Lord, you're in control. And letting him take it. Nothing can happen to us that God would not allow. Because you see, I'm a son of the living God. You are a son of the living God or a daughter of the living God. And God is in control. Remember that this week. God is in control. Not the enemy, not you, no one except God Almighty. And he will make a way where there seems to be no way, my Lord. You may stand, please.